Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm so happy to be able to join you. It's really strange watching you all be in a public space, but being in a in my own home, it's kind of confusing for me. But yeah, I'm really happy that I was invited. So thank you, Paul, for inviting me. And yeah, I hope you've all had a really good evening. There is a baby sleeping in this apartment, and hopefully he will not wake up within the next 20 minutes. But if he does, we'll deal with it. Anyway, I'm going to read some poems from Quiet. I'm really glad that you got to see the Faber edition because I don't have that one right now. I have the US one, which looks like this, which does have the block capitals. But yeah, I'm going to begin where I always begin, which is right at the start of the book, the first poem. Declaration. If sickness begins in the gut, if I live in the belly of the beast, if here at the heart of empire, if careful in the house of the host, if quiet at the hearth of the host, if here at the home of empire, if I live in the belly of the beast, let me beget sickness in its gut. Lost belonging. I left my bag on the train, under the table, forgot it, looking at the sun as I rolled home into the city. Gold was spilling from the frame of a skyscraper, and it looked like a fire, but it was only nature reflecting off of steel. It was nature at it again, refracting from the metals of this skin that we have grown so lately. Everything is going to break, and I must get home before it does, or doesn't yet, or buckles. Back to the locked shut door, to the batteries, plus minus, all dashed from the clock, and the blinds closed tight, a millipede of stinging eyes, red light crashing through from the place behind them. Mother, where else can I go? Fifteen. Sorry, neighbors. Not the baby, though. 15. With his hopscotch grid for a wrist, see my blue boy with a smile like a one-string guitar, relative to nobody, dropping out of school, out of line, saying, I love you more than life itself, in a first Valentine's card during the term in which we turn 15. In the attic of an old phone now, here he is again. In the drawer I was emptying during a hymn I was singing before I met him, and here he is, my blue boy. Now, watch this older girl stop and throw her day out with the dust and turn blue too. This whole impermanence thing is deceptive, looks lifelong, actually, to me. Still stuck here, moulding mason jars of words to preserve him with. Wondering if a poem 10 years on is still opining, asking how many more I'll make, having learned at last how little of us keeps. Quite a strange experience, which I'm enjoying actually, reading work after not having been in the mindset of that work for quite some time. And it's funny in the sense that, so the book, the PhD that this book comprises part of, I'm still finishing it. A lot of life happened, so it's taken me a minute, but yeah, it's weird reading poems and having had a bit of distance between when they were written and now. And actually, what I like about it is that I've been waiting to look at these poems, perhaps like a stranger. I could never be a stranger to these poems, but it's nice to get some distance. It's nice to feel that, it's nice to get some distance and still think, oh, okay, yeah, it's not rubbish. It could be better, but it's not rubbish. Anyway, this next poem is deserves some kind of introduction. Firstly, because I wrote this one in a workshop with a friend of mine who we lost last year, called Boyega Odubanjo. His book has actually just came out. His book has actually just come out with Faber all of about 4 days ago. It's a fantastic book. It's called Adam. But yeah, this poem came out of a workshop with Boyega, and I'm so happy that he can be in this book in that way. And also, I think important to say that Palestine lives in this book, and I'm thinking very much about Gaza and what's happening there at the moment, and how unending that is. So this poem is called Not Quiet, as in quiet, but not quiet as in quiet, but as in peaceful, as in slow to anger, as in shy, as in sulking or sullen, as in nice, as in clean, tree-lined streets, as in well-resourced libraries, as in good, outstanding schools, as in not much new, as in no news is good news, as in the war is over, has been for decades now. As in early to bed, curled up with a book, as in the newborn is sleeping, as in TV barely audible, as in subtitles, as in subtext. As in someone should have done something, as in don't just do something, stand there, as in could and should but wouldn't, as in, well, the British are so polite, as in placid, as in placated, as in nuanced, complicated, as in careful. It's a conflict, not a siege. A conflict, as in objective, as in both sides, as in well behaved, as in safe, as in too quiet, as in almost silent, as in almost no sirens. About Anna. The truth is, nobody knows how Anna Mendieta met her death. It would appear she was pushed. Some distance below, the doorman said he heard a woman shout, "No," and then the sound as her body hit the top of the deli, so hard her face left a mark like a metal stamp. In the photo, she is naked and feathered. She looks like the first woman, like she doesn't know what a camera is, that somewhere in the world it is believed these things can steal a soul. Her arms are out, as if to say, you move them like this to fly, like this. See, her feet are apart. You can see the sphere of her hips, the delta between her legs. I look at her, sated, and think, this is the true work of the body, to adorn itself and be comfortable, unaware. I myself am bored of fig leaves, of shames I did not choose. Where shall we go next? I'm going to read a poem that I first started writing on my phone. I don't usually write like that, but sometimes I get fragments and I try to record them so that when I come back to them later, I can maybe complete something. But I think this one is probably the only poem that I did that I have completed on my phone, because I distinctly remember copying, I distinctly remember remembering it and then copying it out onto a Word document. And I enjoy reading this one because maybe because of how it's written, it takes me back to that kind of mind state of being really in awe of someone. I guess you could call it a crush poem. But I just think that kind of emotional electricity is so visceral and so delicious to write about. So in honor of those feelings, I'm going to read Whose Name Means Honey. Whose name means honey? You are beautiful to me. You are beautiful to me across the table we have arrived at, in from the rain. No makeup on your face, but for the small, frail thread of something on your right cheek that I would like to remove for you, you whose name means honey. Every time you look up, and still it is there, I would like to be the one who says, hold on, come here, let me, 1 minute, stay there, almost, there we go, all done, perfect. And when you look up, and now it is gone, swept absent-mindedly off the face of the earth by your dark hair. Oh, I'm sad to have missed my chance. Date with no entry. Every way to deep it, but no way to swim. Natally wounded comes to mind. It had a nice ring to it. It left the mouth well. When you've done enough, are you the last to know? Sometimes the whole operating system is faulty. What are the subscriptions left to cancel? Junk mail aplenty. No click here to unsubscribe. No idea who gave the devil your details. It's not you this time, it's the planets that are mad. You're okay, really. You just caught a ghost. What's yours is yours. What's theirs is yours too. A sadness so heavy. A sadness so heavy. Sticky and gum-like, color fast. Ignore and it will stay forever loyal to you. Act too soon and you'll seal it in for good. scrubbing your bed sheets in the bathroom in shame. Sweetheart, sweetheart, when you've had enough, will you be the last to know? Is it love that you're seeking or permission? What will you choose when you can't have both? Is it true? Is it useful? A sadness so heavy. A sorrow like this needs washing on its own terms. The answer, not always hot water. Turn on both taps and cup your hands under, like in prayer, but open. Not right or wrong, but left and right, both you. Wash your loss at the body's own temperature. Observe how, like blood, now it runs. I'm going to read a poem called Stephanie, who's a friend of mine. We went to school together, high school, and we lived on the same road. And I've actually been meaning to call her and see how she's doing recently because I haven't caught up with her for a minute. So, in honor of that reminder for myself, I'm going to read Stephanie. I walked past your house today on the way to mine. I thought I might stop by again, or we could talk a little or too long, until late, preferably, until my phone rings. Somebody was in your porch, calling to someone else inside, who was maybe your mother, your sister, or even yourself. And I thought about stopping by, but it wasn't your mother's car in the drive, and no, it wasn't your house anymore. We would walk to the park at night time. I would tell you to quit your job. What is a friend but someone to sit with on the swings out in the darkness? I'll read two more. One a bit chunkier, and then I'll finish with a short one. So yeah, that's it. The ultra black fish. All right. The ultra black fish. Two 100 meters down, the light stops. Many deep sea creatures alive at this level of the ocean have developed the ability to create light for themselves. This is known as bioluminescence. Others, on the contrary, contribute to the darkness by adding themselves to it. Ultra black fish are one example, and in 2020, 16 varieties of these were captured. The level of pigment in their skin was so high that it was found to absorb 99.956% of the light that touched it. Karen, a marine biologist, came across them by accident. Instead of hauling up the deep sea crabs she had been searching for, her net produced a fang-toothed fish that wouldn't show up in a photograph, held later in a tank under two strobe lights. The fish became a living black hole with no discernible features beyond the opacity of its silhouette, as though it had cut itself out of the image and left. Scientists believe that the fish developed their invisibility to aid them in escaping their predators. Another theory suggests that the obscurity of ultra-black fish enables them to more successfully catch their prey. It is likely that both ideas are true. Commentators have also speculated that the chemical structure of the pigment could serve the development of military and defense technologies. Nothing was said, however, about how ultra black fish find and enter into relations with each other. Nonetheless, their existence alone is evidence that, invisible as they may be to others, they are by no means strangers to themselves. Thank you so much. You've been a really kind audience. I think, probably the strangest audience I've had, where I do feel like I'm with you, but I obviously I'm not. But I do feel that if I were with you, I'd be having a good time. So, yeah, very grateful for your company in this strange way. And somebody have a gin and tonic on my behalf, or any whatever it is that you'd like. This last poem is called "Dreaming is a Form of Knowledge Production," and it's kind of a kind of collage poem stitched of different dreams that I've had, different things that I've said at different points, just kind of all mashed together in a kind of dream logic, I suppose. Dreaming is a form of knowledge production. Nobody's immune to their ego taking the wheel. Dreaming is a form of knowledge production, and they don't want it to be that easy for us. As in, lay your head on a pillow, wake up holding something new. I said what I said, not what you say. I said, pigs are outside the house, but next door this time. It's not something our relationship will be able to survive. He doesn't show it, the cat, but he loves me so. He has the gene, but it hasn't kicked in yet. Another 1,000 years, all thinking and no feeling. Shut up about Freud. Thank you.
Victoria, thank you so much. The reading was an absolute treat. That was gorgeous. And one more round of applause for Victoria Ajukwe-Hudu.